This evening is Proverbs chapter 4, and I'll read verses 11 through 19. Proverbs 4, verses 11 through 19. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on, for they do not sleep unless they have done evil. And their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. And the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Proverbs 4:18 says, but the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter under the perfect day. And I love these scriptures. There are many passages in the Bible that talk about our path or our way. And I've preached on many of them before, but this is the first time on this particular passage. And I think it's very interesting. It's a passage about wisdom. At least that's how it starts. And about going in the wrong way as well as going in the right way. And so first, my first point is this is about wisdom. And wisdom in this passage is first something that we have to be taught. It's something that we have to be led into. We have to be led into the right paths, because going in them does not come naturally to us. The writer here of Proverbs, I believe Solomon here, is writing, he says, I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths, verse 11. And wisdom as a road or as a path is the fast track. It's the smooth or easier way. We're talking about going the right way, going to heaven, going in God's way. And wisdom is the right way. So he says in verse 12, when you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble, because this is the path that is smoothest, that's most regular, that's easiest, that's not going to take you in a way that's going to hurt you. And it may seem that this is a contradiction with what Christ says, because Christ says in Matthew 7:13-14, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, but there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few that find it. So Solomon seems to be saying the right way is smooth, and Jesus saying the right way is the straight and narrow and difficult way. And yet they're talking about different things. They're not disagreeing. You may think they are, but they're not. Do they contradict one another? No, they agree totally. They're just talking about different aspects of the same thing. When Solomon speaks of walking and stepping and running and going in a certain path, he is talking, like Christ is, about the way to heaven, which is wisdom, which is God's way, which is the way that we are directed by Scripture. Which ultimately is Christ, because he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if we walk in this way, this right track, we can be sure we're in the way of blessing. We can be sure we're in the best, safest route to heaven. And that's what Christ, what Solomon is saying. He says, get on this path of wisdom, and you have the smooth path to God, the right path, and you won't stumble. When Jesus is speaking about a narrow way, in contrast to a broad way and a difficult way, he's talking about how the right way would seem in our experience. Because we are sinners, and because we live in a sin-filled world, going the right way involves us going against the majority, meaning the majority of people aren't going in that right way. And that's what Jesus says in that passage. He says, broad is the way, and many go in the way of destruction. And yet few go in this straight way, and it is the more difficult way of the two. But there's a difference in what he's saying than what Solomon is saying. First, they agree. Christ certainly agrees with Solomon that the narrow way, or Solomon agrees with Christ that the narrow way is the best and the fastest and the smoothest way to heaven, because any other way won't get you to heaven at all. So they're agreeing on that. When Christ says the way is difficult, it's easy to go the sinful way, because that's the way our flesh naturally goes. He's not saying the sinful way is best. He's just saying it's easy to go that way. It's difficult to go the right way. It's kind of like climbing up a hill or a mountain. How do you get to the top? Well, the easy way is to slide down. It's a lot easier. Slide down, especially if it's smooth. You got a nice snow and you got a nice path. You can slide down all day. It's easier. But will it ever get you to the top? No, it won't. Going down doesn't get you to the top. And that's where, Christ and Solomon are agreeing. The difficult way, in some sense, is climbing up. But it is the straight path. It is the safest path, because you have to get there. The other way is the way to hell, which is not safe at all. But I think it's important here to point that out, because Solomon is talking about a path that is the easier, better way to get to heaven. And getting to heaven is the goal. It's still easier and better to go the way of God, the way of the Bible, the way of Christ. That way may be harder than sliding down into hell, but ultimately it's not harder, because it doesn't involve going down into hell. It's going up into heaven. And so this is about that path, about that way. And here we have that way, which is not the way that we avoid. He says, do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil. We don't want to go that way. We want to go the right way. And so in verse 13, he says, take firm hold of instruction. Do not let her go. Keep her, for she is your life. This is the second point. It's about instruction. It's getting it. It's holding it. And God's word gives us plenty of instruction about the right way, about the right path. We're caught all through Scripture about the way, about the path. Even sometimes, I preached a short time ago about the highway of holiness that is called in Isaiah 35. All of these are talking about the same thing. And we are taught in Scripture also and encouraged to pray for wisdom, as it says in James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And Solomon certainly did pray for wisdom, didn't he? And God answered that prayer abundantly for him. And God promises, that's one prayer that we have a promise from God that he's sure to answer. If we pray for wisdom, he will give it to us. And yet when we pray for wisdom, we also seek for wisdom, and we find it in his word. And A under here, it's a lighted way, by it's the way of the path is a lighted way. It's lighted by the word of God. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The right way, the godly way. We have a light here that shows us that way. We are not walking in darkness when we have the scripture. Secondly, as I've already said, it's the narrow way. Christ calls it this. He says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there will be many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few that find it. And so here, Scripture identifies the way. It's the narrow way, meaning most people won't find this way. They will go this way and this way, but the narrow way is the right way. It's more difficult than some of these other ways, but it is the right. He says, few there are that find it. It is the way that is Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And so the way is Christ. It's opposite of that way that seems right to a man. I mentioned that this morning. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. It's opposite of our own ways. In Judges 2:19, it ends with, they did not cease from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. We have our own stubborn ways sometimes. Ways we think we have to do it this way, even though God is saying do it this way. And we need to resist that way that seems right to a man. It is the way of those who trust in the Lord, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He shall direct your path. It's the way of trusting and faith. And sometimes God directs us in a certain way and we don't feel right about it, but we know He's telling us that's the way to go. And when we know that, we follow Him. It is the way to teach our children. Genesis 18:19, God is speaking to Himself, God the Father, God the Son speaking, and it says, for I have known Him in order that He may command His children and His household after Him, talking about Abraham, that they may keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and judgment, justice, that the Lord may bring Abraham what He has spoken to him. See, it says He will command His children. He will teach His children. Solomon learned these things from his father David. He says that in this very same Psalm 4, in verses 3 through 5, he says, when I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. One of the reasons I believe Solomon, when God asked him, pray for anything you can pray for, he prayed for wisdom that he might be the right kind of king and the right kind of ruler over God's people. I believe it's because David had taught him. David had said, this is what you need to do. You need to pray for wisdom. And if we look back at David and Solomon, we could look back at many ways that they failed. And yet they walked with the Lord in general. And God blessed them as far as they did do that. They walked in wisdom. It's a way in which we should pray, show me your way. Exodus 33:12-13. Moses says to the Lord, now therefore I pray, if I found grace in your sight, show me now your way that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight and consider this nation as your people. When Moses prayed this, I think what he was praying was not for just direction through the wilderness. And I say that because God was already giving them that. He was giving them the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And yet what Moses, I believe, is saying, show me your way, as he wants to know God's way in regard to spiritual things, in regard to moral things. And God did give him the law. It was at that very same time he's giving him the law. And Moses wants even more of that. The psalmist says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name." It's something that we can pray to God for. It's the way that God promises to make prosperous. Joshua 1:8, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." It's the way God preserves. "For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sights and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed." The Israelites went through the wilderness and they weren't very good while they were going. They were always complaining and all this, but God preserved them through that way. It is the perfect way, the way of victory. It says in 2 Samuel 21, 31, 22, 31 through 37, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven, a shield to all who trust in him." This is the perfect way. If you want to know what is perfect in this world, the way taught in Scripture is the perfect way. "For who is God except the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? God is my strength and my power, and he makes my way perfect." It's one thing for his way to be perfect. We see it in the word of God. But as we read it, as we study it, as we pray that he will help us, he will make our way perfect. He says, "He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He sets me on my high places. He teaches my hands to make war, so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me, so my feet did not slip." That's David speaking. And he's talking about how God had brought him from being chased by Saul to being king, and how God had taken him in that way that he should go. It's a way to hold to. "Yet the righteous will hold to his way, and he who has clean hands will be stronger and stronger." It's a way you don't want to get out of. It's the way the Lord knows. Job says, "But he knows the way that I take." In Psalm 1, it says, "He knows the way of the righteous." In Job again, it says, "When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot has held fast to his steps." Notice all this, you know, stepping in a certain way. "I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandments of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." It's the way God will teach the humble. Psalm 25, 8 and 9. "Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way." Isn't that good to know? He teaches sinners in his way. Sinners, by definition, are the ones that are out of his way, aren't they? That's what sin is. It's going out of the way of God. But he teaches us the way. And when we're humble, when you say, "Lord, I have sinned. I need you to help me to get back in that way." It's the way to be revived to. "Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way." If you've gone astray, if you've backslidden in any way, if you've drifted away from the Lord, you want to be revived to this way that is taught in the Word. Meaning revive means you're excited about it again. It's something you want to do. You want to follow God. And so you want to be revived in this way. Third main point, back to Proverbs 4. It's the path that grows brighter in contrast to the dangerous darkness. Consider how the wrong way is described. First, God has placed a do not enter sign in front of it. In Proverbs 4:14, it actually says this: do not enter the path of the wicked and walk in the way of evil. Have you ever seen one of those signs? Sometimes they're, you're at the end of the road, do not enter. If you enter there, what's going to happen to you? Maybe you're going to fall in a ditch. Maybe there's explosives back there. Maybe there's a guy with a gun who just doesn't want you on his land. All that do not enter means don't go there. And God has his own do not enter sign. He says, do not enter the path of the wicked. And the wicked are those people, just those people who don't know God. And they have a certain way of going, a certain path. And he says, don't go there. Don't walk in that way. Don't walk in the way of evil. This is a repeated warning. The red lights are flashing. For some reason, I remembered when I was a kid, I watched Lost in Space, and the robot would say, danger, danger, danger. And that's what this verse is saying, because it repeats. It says, do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. Five different ways he says, don't go this way. He's being very strong in telling them there's certain ways that we want to avoid. The way of the wicked is like an addicting drug. They not only indulge in it, but they want you to indulge in it too. It says, it's interesting, verses 16 and 17, it says, for they do not sleep unless they have done some evil. They can't get to sleep. They have to do something wicked. And their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. They can't just do evil themselves. They have to get somebody else to fall into it. And he says, for they eat the bread of wickedness. What is bread? Bread is a staple of life. It's something that you eat regularly. And he says, their bread is wickedness. That's what they live on. And he says, they drink the wine of violence. Not only is it their staple, but it is their luxury, their pleasure. They love doing wickedness. It's their staple. They have to do it all the time. They love it. They have to make somebody else fall. And he says, you don't want to go that way. You don't want to fall into that. The fall, their fall, is a certainty. Just, they don't know how it'll be. It says in verse 19, the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them to stumble. Erica knows, sometimes both of us have come in the church and it's all the lights are off. And I'm always going over to turn the lights back by that. It's the easiest, closest lights are back by where that sound system is. And there's always chairs and something. And I haven't fallen yet, but I've got pretty close. And that's what happens when you walk in the darkness. And when you walk in the darkness spiritually and morally, you're even more sure to fall. Because when you walk in the darkness, not only do your own sins make you slip and fall, but Satan lays traps for you. And he knows what traps are work best on you. He gets us to fall into that kind of trap. The way of the righteous is just the opposite of this. This is the one verse that is the best in this passage, verse 18. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter under the perfect day. And you know, when we come to Christ, our righteousness starts with him. It says in Romans 3:21, but now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. We've all failed. We're all out of that way. But when we trust in Christ, his righteousness is imputed to us. And it's the righteousness of God. And when, as soon as we have that, we're legally right with God. And as soon as we're legally right, God sends his Holy Spirit to us and starts sanctifying us. And as we're sanctified, and I think it works like this, you know, we may fall occasionally. We may slip into a sin here or there. But every time we do, we feel worse about it and we want to get right back in that way because the Holy Spirit is working on our heart. And as we go through this life, the path of the just, the path we're on, is like the shining sun that shines brighter, ever brighter, it says, to that perfect day. That perfect day is the day when we're with Christ again, when he's come, and when we're in heaven. But as we're going on that way, the day gets brighter and brighter and brighter. Even if we're getting older and other things are going worse, that's getting better because spiritually and morally we're seeing better. We grow as we grow in grace, and that light grows. In 1 John 1:7 it says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." We walk in the light as he is in the light, and he cleanses us from all sin, it says. Isaiah 44:22 says a similar thing. It says, "I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions, and like a cloud your sins. Return to me, for I have redeemed you." He has blotted out like a thick cloud. The thick cloud does what to the sun? It blocks it out. It makes it a little bit darker. The thicker the cloud, the darker things seem. And the more that we have sin in our lives, the more it blocks off that shining path. We can't see as well. But as soon as we confess our sins, Scripture says he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And that path gets brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. And that's what we see here in this passage. There are two different paths. One is the path of the wicked. And he says the way of the wicked is like darkness. They don't know what makes them to stumble. And they never have a shining brightness. But the way of God's people, the way of the just, is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter. Meaning they may start in a sort of a dark situation, because we're all sinners, but it gets brighter and brighter and brighter as God's grace is given to them and as they walk more and more in that right way. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you that in Scripture there are many, many, many passages that give us instruction about the way we should go, and also about the ways that we should avoid. Father, Scripture is so clear about these things that if we read it and we read it again and we read it again, even though we might have a tendency to go astray and to falter in a way, we eventually will start seeing it and we'll see the brightness of your way. And Father, the way of Christ, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me." He's the way. And he also says, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness." And Father, we pray that we would follow the light that is Christ, that we would go in the way that is Christ, is the way of truth. And Father, enable us, strengthen us to do that. Help us to avoid the ways of the wicked. Help us not to be pulled into them or addicted unto them to where we can't go another way. Father, we thank you that your Scripture teaches us plainly and helps us to understand a way that is true and good. Father, we thank you for these things, and we pray them in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, our last hymn is number 385.